You're listening to the Drawing the Ideal Self podcast for October 2022. Today's edition of the podcast will be to tell you about a new resource I've made called the ESP cards. I've been thinking about this for a little while, and over the past months I have been drawing pictures that are now in this set of cards. So there are probably 100 pictures. It turns out what I've made is something that can be used to explore construing, maybe when you don't have too much time. But it came about because I see children and young people who say, how do other people seem to know? How do they know what to do? And how come I don't know? And that got me thinking about how we can develop children's construing, so they have an easier time and they find it easier to cope both at home and at school. Because if they can't construe what's going on, it's very difficult for them to feel comfortable. None of us really like to be in places where we have no idea what's happening. We can tolerate it for a very short time, such as in a ghost train or something like that. But that's only fun because we know we're going to come out of it and it will only last for a few minutes. People don't generally choose to be in situations that they really don't understand. But sometimes we have to ask children to do that because they must go to school. And life at school can be really pretty complicated. And when you don't get it right and you end up in trouble, it can make you feel pretty miserable. The ESP cards are the Exploring Situations and Problems cards. However, I quite like the fact that that happened to be the letters. And ESP really works because that's, you know, in terms of a dictionary definition, what the dictionary says is ESP, the supposed faculty of perceiving things by means other than the known senses, e.g. by telepathy. And that made me think, actually, that fits really well because the children that I've worked with say, but how do people know? You know, how do they know? And actually, it's incredible that people do know. You know, lots and lots of people get by absolutely fine. They don't run into too many problems. If they do have a problem, they resolve them pretty quickly. And that's the majority of people. However, some kids find it really difficult. And one of the things they find difficult is that they can't really read situations very well and they're not sure what to do in them. And then they end up in situations that they didn't intend. They didn't necessarily set out to get into trouble, but trouble keeps happening to them. So this set of cards will soon be on my website and they will be free. You can download them as long as you just use them for your personal use. So you can't sell them or upload them to a website. You can send a link to my website from someone else's website. That's okay. But they're going to be given away because I haven't seen a set of cards that do what these cards are trying to do. Well, I guess mine are a bit biased towards the more uncomfortable feelings, the, you know, sort of things that really go wrong and are quite horrible for children. Once I interviewed a child who did not speak at all and would only communicate in writing with me. I've talked to a child who was wearing a balaclava back to front. I've talked to children who are sitting backwards on the chair, you know, making a very clear statement that, no thanks, I didn't think it was going to be very useful to talk to me. So those kind of uncomfortable responses when people are trying to help them can be very confusing and upsetting for the adults around the child who are really maybe trying their very best to help the child out. So this set of cards are really probably most useful to people working with primary school children. And that's because the illustrations on them are more of children who are younger and some of the strategies might not be appropriate for an older group of young people, at least with the illustrations they've got on them. I'm pretty sure that a lot of young people still have the same issues, but they might not like to see the images in the way that I've done them on here. So my intention with this is to give you a set of cards that you can use when time is short, because people keep telling me they don't have a lot of time to do individual work with children and young people. So I thought I should think about that and see if I could come up with something useful. So what I've made is a set of cards that can be used to explore construing, and particularly thought about those young people who find it pretty hard to give their views. So I thought I would make something that could help them. If it helps them, it can help everybody else. There is a bias in the cards towards the more uncomfortable kind of reactions and emotions that people might have and some of the behaviours that people might see. And that's deliberate. And that's because if they don't show those things, they can say so. If they do show them, in order to discuss them, we need to make them feel it's okay to say so. And, you know, realistically, a lot of kids know what their difficult behaviour is, but they don't all know. They do, if they do know what their difficult behaviour is, making it easy for them to say that they do those things is pretty helpful, because then you can get on with looking at why it happens rather than a kind of encourage them to feel terrible about showing that kind of behaviour in the first place. Makes it a bit more ordinary. When they're in that situation, somebody really needs to try and help them. So they may refer them to services like specialist services for education or health or social care. And all of us will have to try and help those young people somehow. My experience is that the children and young people who have the most difficulty often have the most difficulty thinking things through. So we can go in as professionals and, you know, that includes if you're a Senko, you know, you meet with the child and you try and talk with them about where it goes wrong for them. But they may find it very difficult to pull out important events and focus on them. They might find it hard to remember their day, to be able to think where it went wrong, you know, whether it happened last week or it happened a month ago. So a kind of sense of time. So these kind of executive function issues are common across all kinds of mental health diagnoses. You know, they are the things that cause people lots of difficulty and can lead to the problems that we're being asked to investigate. They're not the only thing, but they are very significant, I think, in children and young people who get referred for specialist help. So if that's the case, we need ways of helping them to express their views because they're not finding it easy. So if they were okay at doing that, they probably would never have been referred because they'd have had a chat with their teacher and their parents and people would have thought, okay, this isn't working quite right. We know what to do. The children who do get referred are those where things aren't working. So people will have already tried to help them. They're not going to necessarily have been without any help, but that help has not been found to solve the problem. I think that in that situation, we're expecting to work with a child or young person who is really struggling to think through a situation, and they may not be able to tell us what they do wrong or why it upsets them. And what I'm hoping is that by using these ESP cards, we can help them to express their views much better. Obviously, from my point of view, these cards haven't come out of nowhere. They're about construing. So the idea of the cards is that you have four groups of cards. There are events, which are things that just happen in a day. A typical school day is what I would explore first. So what happens from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed? And let's put those events in order. So you end up with a storyboard. And I've used storyboards quite a bit with children and young people and found them very helpful. With this particular group of children, I wanted something that could help them along that route so that we could build a storyboard quickly, but we didn't rely so heavily on them generating the items that are in the storyboard. Because in order to give the story of your day, you have to be able to remember it and you have to remember it in order. You know, often I'll do it on pieces of paper so you can slip things in. But with these cards, there's less emphasis on the need to get it right first time than if they drew them. They don't have to remember anything and it's quick because they don't need to do the drawings themselves. So the kind of things that are in the event cards are things like bedtime, cleaning your teeth, going to the supermarket, doing your schoolwork, getting a reward. Ordinary events in a typical child's life, during primary school especially. And the idea of that was if the whole day could be covered, It would also be able to include those children and young people who really struggle to go to school, because it would help them to say what's going on before school as well as what happens after school. And I know there is a lot of concern about those young people. And we know that if you start not attending school early, it's going to be all the more difficult to get you to go in. So this may help people who are working with children who have what is called emotionally based school avoidance. The events include events that are daily events, but also events that might not happen often, but do happen. The reason I've put those in is because I know that for some children, the anticipation of going to the dentist, even if they go once a year, is horrendous. So for the week before they go to the dentist, they might not sleep. They may have difficulty with their behaviour and controlling their emotions. And when it comes to the day that they're going, things could go very badly. They may run off. So even though it's quite a rare event, it's an event that really we would want to be able to include, because if it's a day where that's happening, that's really important. The other things are things like going to a clinic to see people like me. And I know that sometimes parents really struggle to get their kids to go. Going to the doctors, going for an appointment anywhere in a clinic with a professional is quite anxiety provoking for some children and young people. And to be honest, I don't blame them because they're going to see someone that they don't know in a place that's strange, and they have to talk about things that matter. That's quite a tall order, really. Some other things that come up in events are group work and paired work. So most children will be involved in some of that in school. If they're not, that's really interesting, because I'm sure it will have been tried, and then someone might have decided that that child can't cope in a group or in a paired piece of work. That's useful to know, and it's useful to hear about it from the child's point of view. So why do they think everyone else works in a group but they work on their own? What's that about? And is that okay with them or not? Is it something they'd prefer not to happen? Another one that comes up quite often in my work is just an ordinary event like going out with a family. So, you know, going out with the family either to the supermarket or on a trip or to the park. Sometimes children don't want to go anywhere. They want to stay at home, either stay in their room and do their own thing or play on their games, and they're quite happy doing that. And what we're asking them to do is go and do something which is going for them to be quite stressful. And then they don't want to go. And they may just say, I don't want to go, but comply. Or they may say, I don't want to go. And the next thing is they're lying on the floor screaming. But that's really important. So one of the things about the event cards and putting them in a storyboard is that you can look at transitions. You can look at if you're going out with your family at 11 o'clock, but from 10 o'clock, say, you've been playing on your PlayStation, you're in the middle of a game, and now they want you to go out. And it's really not as nice from the child's point of view as staying at home and playing on the PlayStation. Why would they want to go? Now, some kids will tolerate it and still go. Some kids will be sick and wind themselves into a frenzy. Some kids will scream and refuse to get in the car. If we know those kind of things happen to any children, it's worth having them in this set of cards, because if they're not a problem, we'll soon know that. If they are a problem, we want to be able to think about how something could be done to help. Another common issue that parents often raise is travelling in the car to home or to school. That can be a crunch point for them, where there is difficult behaviour in the car, which makes it a very dangerous situation. So I wanted to put that one in. And then you've got some standard things like waiting for a turn on a game, or losing a game, or having to switch your game machine off, or coming to a point in the school day where you've got to do writing or doing PE. So I've thought about, you know, the sort of things that are common issues a lot of children and young people that I've seen over the years. And I've tried to make sure they're in. I haven't put every lesson in, But PE is pretty difficult if you're somebody whose coordination isn't great, or you've got a tendency to forget instructions, as when you're playing a team game. You know, writing isn't good if it makes your hand hurt, but you've got to do it every day, and you've got to do it for a long time every day, and you've got to do it neatly. Reading is similar. You know, if you think you can't read, that is a really important difficulty. And so is the same with maths, because you're going to do those every single day. And when you do them, you're going to be faced with that experience again of not feeling competent. Then the next set of cards are reactions. So what kind of things faced with these events would the child show? And these are observable kind of behaviours. So that they say stop speaking, or they argue, or they walk off, or they go outside and run around, or when that maths paper is put in front of them, they daydream and lose their focus. These are the kind of things that other people might notice about that child. Then there is a set of emotions cards, which are the kind of more internal experiences of the same things, really, because these are all about construing. So, you know, if you're construing maths as difficult, you may react emotionally, in theory, by being embarrassed and daydream. However, somebody isn't going to do one and then the other. Realistically, they're going to be occurring at the same time. I've separated them out in case you should want to just take out the reaction cards or just take out the emotion cards, because it was difficult to bundle them together into one thing that would make sense as well. But you might want to take only the reactions and then run through those with a child and say, do you ever do any of these things? Rather than linking them with a storyboard, so for a different purpose. Then the fourth set of cards is what I've called changes. So these are things that children may have tried to bring down their kind of heightened emotional state and get back on an even keel. So they could try and meditate. You know, for me, that just won't work. I'm hopeless at meditating. I'm much better at doing something which occupies my mind. I find it difficult to kind of work on emptying it and just stay with my feelings. I prefer to distract. That works better for me. And I think with these changes, you know, they're really personal. They are things that might work for me and won't work for you. So I think for children and young people, they need to know that, you know, what they try to do to bring their feelings back into a kind of even keel, all of those efforts are appreciated. The fact they don't work always doesn't mean that the child isn't really, really trying to do something. So the changes include things like talking to somebody, asking someone for help, going outside for a sit underneath a tree, or being out in nature for a bit, asking for some more time. You know, that might be particularly relevant when they don't want to stop playing and they feel really disappointed and upset. But actually, if they ask for more time, that changes the whole thing. And parent says, yeah, okay, you can have another 5 minutes. Some of the changes are kind of sensory things that a child might use, such as stroking their pet. Some of them are physical things like talking to somebody or sitting near something or going to a different place. And some of them are working through problems with somebody else, usually an adult. So being able to identify what's gone wrong and then talk about it, being able to generate solutions. So there are a number of changes covering a range of things that they could try. And these were made with the assumption that children do try. They already try to do the right thing, and they try to keep their feelings under control, and sometimes it doesn't work. And that's pretty much the same for everybody. It's just that if you are a child and you're less experienced in managing your own feelings, it can get pretty difficult to do. Then the other cards that are in the pack are a Likert scale, which goes from usually difficult to usually easy, and then a really simple rating scale, which goes bad, okay, good. And the idea of including those is that I know that sometimes children can't sort things easily, they can't select things, so they might not be able to do the storyboard approach, but they may be able to go through events that could happen in their day and put them on a Likert scale quite easily. So they might say, okay, First card is assembly. That's usually difficult. Goes in that pile. Second card is lunch. Well, that's usually easy. Goes in the usually easy pile. So it gives you that option to do that. And the other thing is that the good, bad and okay might be useful for children who really struggle either to engage and you need a very quick way of doing it, or struggle with the idea of thinking about themselves and reflecting for too long. So these cards also, as well as having a verbal label, like usually difficult, they've got an emoji on them to make that easier, and they've also got a demonstration of where it is on the scale. So 5 is usually difficult, 1 is usually easy. They're colour-coded as well, so you know, green for usually easy, red for usually difficult. And that's just to make the sorting much more easy and less reliant on reading. What would you do with these cards? Well, the first thing is to say you're going to need plenty of space, because if you lay out the event cards in a storyboard, it's going to be quite long. I've been using it, and I've found that sometimes I've had to go on to 2 rows of cards, or we have to make some space on the table, and that's even using quite a big table. So you need some space. You need to have all of the cards printed out and sorted into their relevant piles. They are colour-coded on the back to make that easy. And then you need paper and pen, or post-it notes could be really handy. Because whatever cards I make, there'll be events a child thinks is relevant to include that I haven't included. So at that point, they can either draw the extra ones and you label them, or they can just write the name of what the extra ones are and put them into the storyboard in the right place. So you go through the events and say, okay, so when you get up in the morning, what happens as soon as you get up? So the first card would be the bed. They're in bed then, and they're waking up. The second card, they might say, well, I'm going to have my breakfast next. Or I go and clean my teeth. Or I go downstairs and watch TV. Whatever it is that they do, that goes next. And then you just go through the day like that. So eventually you get to the end of the day and you're in bed again. I haven't made any cards that are related to staying in bed. However, I know that's quite an issue. So you may find that quite a few of the emotion and reaction cards turn up at that point, because if you don't stay in bed, usually someone gets quite cross in the end. So once you've got that storyboard laid out, what you would do is go through and add the emotions and the reactions to the difficult events. So not all of the events are going to be difficult. So you need to say to the child, okay, are there any of these that are difficult times for you? And you can either move them slightly so they're out of line, or put a counter on them or something like that. And just mark them in some way or put a post-it note by it. What that does is immediately say, not all of the day is hard. Some of the day goes pretty well. That's important to note. So once you've got those cards down and you're able to look at the storyboard and look at which events they're finding difficult and look at the emotions and the reactions that they've put together with them. So it could be they've put break time is a particularly difficult time, and it's difficult because they argue with other children and they feel lonely. So, you know, you've got a much better understanding about break time already. If you said, do you like break? You might get a completely different picture of that. If you ask them which parts of the day are difficult without some kind of prompt, they may not realise that you would like to include break. So you'd have to specifically say that. So the cards make it a bit easier to have some of the discussion, and you've got something in front of you. I've found so far that they have an advantage in that because you're using a lot of space, probably the child's going to stand up. That's good for kids who find it difficult to stay seated. It's also good for kids who need something to do, so who find focus more difficult. But once the cards are laid out and you've got an idea of the difficult things and you've got an idea of their reactions and the emotions, there are certain things you might want to ask about. One would be, first of all, to look at the timing. So does the event that's a problem interrupt them from doing something they really enjoy, like stopping playing their game in order to go to school? You know, you would expect if you have to do that, there might be a response. So you're looking at the kind of things that are linked together, and then you're looking at the transitions. You know, is that change signaling a part of the day is over that they really like, and now they've got to do something that they don't really like, but they're going to have to do it. So that transition from one situation to another can be seen in the storyboard. Then you'd be noticing, are there things that are repeated? Are there the problems they highlight, things that are going to occur a lot? Such as things like having a shower or doing your work in school. Now, you're going to do those things most days, so it's going to be pretty difficult if they're always a problem for you. And certainly the things that keep on happening and going wrong are a big worry for the adults around the child. And habits of behaviour do build, and they partly build because people expect that to happen. Not just the child's difficulty with adjusting their behaviour, but it can be difficult for a child who is trying really hard to do things different, who gets wound up by his peers in order to see him go off pop. Another thing you might want to talk about is whether or not they see other children struggle with the same sort of thing that they do. So if they are struggling with reading, do they know that other people struggle with reading? What do they think about that? Do they feel like it's just them? Do they feel like they have more of a struggle? You know, why does it make them feel unhappy to be struggling with their reading? That kind of might seem an obvious thing to feel, but some people struggle with their reading and don't care. So we're only interested in the bits that the child sees as a problem for them. The next thing would be to think, do they know how the kind of way they end up in trouble and what happens? Do they know how it affects the people around them, how other kids respond, how teachers respond, how parents respond, what those people might be feeling, how that might change the other people's view of the child and what they're up to? That kind of theory of mind and being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes is so important in life. And if you struggle with that, you're going to end up in trouble anyway. So understanding that that's an issue for a child is going to be very important, because then we've got an idea of how we can try and help them. We know we need to build skills in that area. So then what you've got really is a set of constructs where you've been given the emergent poll already, because they're on the cards, and you're going to elicit a contrast poll. So let's say if they said reading was difficult for them, you might ask, okay, so how would you describe somebody who reading is easy for? What would you say they were? And they might say clever. So now you've got a construct which is someone who finds reading difficult and someone who's clever. Now that's interesting, because there's not a great deal of space to move in that. And the danger is that children want to slot rattle. So if you haven't heard the episode of the podcast about slot rattling, I'd recommend that you do listen to it. And most of the time, all of us would like problems to go away completely, instantly and utterly. And that's just not realistic. Once you've got the contrast poles, you've got something that you can use either for pyramiding and laddering so that you can explore them more. You can do some little rating scales. So you could, let's say it was cheerful or panic. When you're in your PE lesson, you know, how much do you feel either cheerful or panicked? So you can do ratings like that quite easily. So within kind of half an hour or so, you've probably got quite a few things you can do with this. So then the next step is to use the changes and discuss whether the child uses any of those kind of strategies to regulate their own emotions and to help themselves return to a more calm, evenly balanced state. And I would always make this the assumption that they do try things. They may not work, but it doesn't mean they don't try. If they tell you, I don't do anything, that may be because they've given up, or it may be they just aren't sure what they do, or they can't tell you that day at that moment. But I'd be working from the assumption that most children don't want to get into trouble and most children want to do well. So if that isn't happening, they may be trying their hardest to stop themselves ending up in trouble, but their strategies just don't work. They might be the wrong strategy. So, you know, running out of the classroom isn't a strategy that most teachers would find helpful, whereas staying in the class and trying again is something they might like the child to do. But by staying in the class and trying again, the child exposes themselves as a failure because they've already scribbled on their work. They don't want people to see that, so maybe they prefer to run out of the class, take their work with them, wait for the teaching assistant to come after them, and then do it outside the room. We can't understand that until we have a talk with the child and they're able to tell us how it goes from their point of view. So really all this is about trying to understand the child's point of view and what sort of things they've been trying. And in that exploration, trying to come to some ideas that you could suggest that might help in the future. So what I'm going to do is put the set of cards into a document, which I'm just finishing off now, and I'm going to add them to my website. Now, all these things take a lot of time. This has taken me over time, you know, kind of year to produce. So it'd be good if you're going to use it, I'd be delighted. But just put a reference in to say where you got it from. And if you tell other people about it, if you wouldn't mind saying to them, go to the website, you can download it, that'd be great. However, the exception to that, I would say, is if you work somewhere and you've got a server that you share and you want to upload a copy to your server, so that might be to a university course, or it could be to a school, or it could be to a psychology service, say, you know, feel free to do that. That's not a problem at all. If you have a go with them and you think, oh, this has been interesting, let me know if you don't mind, because this is version one. If they seem to be useful to people, I might make another version for older kids. I maybe won't, because it is just the style of them might not work. And clearly, when you see them, I am not a very good artist. So you will see that they are quite formulaic in their style of drawing. But what I'm hoping is it gets across the sentiments quite well. So they're a bit stylized. But I think older kids wouldn't necessarily want to have that. Anyway, if there are things that you think, oh, that keeps coming up, you can ask me if I can do a picture for it. I might not say yes, because it might just not work. So if you don't mind, what I'd really like to happen is, if you use it, can you let me know what you thought? If you run into problems, you can tell me that as well. But I'd be intrigued to know whether the fact that it seems to be working for me transfers to other people. I think it will, but I can't be sure. Now, the other thing to say is I have included instructions for how to make the cards. You could, of course, just print them out and glue them together with PVA or whatever. What I did was follow the instructions from a gamer who makes board games. His instructions are great, so I've included the link to that. If you want to do that, I would suggest you might also want to do what I've done, which is to get some little plastic sleeves. And then once you've made the cards, you can put them into the sleeves, which makes them wipeable. So that's good for sanitization. I've put a link for the company I bought the sleeves from. They actually came through Amazon, but from a different company. And the same for the glue. They use photomount glue in the instructions. So I use that. And the good thing about that is, if you're quick, you can reposition. You just need some A4 card. You could always just print them out on A4 card. I think it's important that they're in colour. I've done them deliberately in colour, so they look more inviting and interesting. And also because they're colour coded. So if you print them in black and white, that's not going to work so well. The way you fold the paper means it's quite easy to make the cards if you follow the instructions. If you want to do it a different way, that's fine by me. But this is the way that I did it, and it seemed to really work. So I'm quite pleased with that. And the cards that are in little plastic sleeves are shuffleable. You know, you could use them for games. You can easily use them for other things. So it turns out to be quite a good strategy to put them in the sleeves. Okay, that's enough then. So give it a go, see what you think, and let me know. The other thing is, if you wouldn't mind telling people that there is a podcast about PCP, that'd be great. There have now been something like 5,000 and something people who've played an episode. That's fantastic to me. I just think, you know, what I want to do is tell people that there is a way of doing things that can be really helpful, that isn't expensive, and means that people can get some CPD very easily, and hopefully in a way that is a bit more casual than reading academic papers. Okay, I'll see you again next month. Thanks very much for listening. Bye. Bye.